Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody because today is, well, I'm recording this on Sunday evening. It is a Monday by the time you guys are listening to this. So I'm recording this by myself. It's going to be part game analysis from the game Saturday night and part mailbag because that's what I say every single Monday. And by the way, if you guys want to get your questions in, or if you guys have a topic that you want to talk about or that you want covered on this show, make sure you send it into iTunes in the form of a 5-star review and I will get to it. Today's show is going to be brought to you by Vivid Seats and by Mizuma. More on them later. But let's start with the game Saturday night, and let's start with Lonzo Ball starting. And I think that's the top topic when it comes to Lakers coverage right now. He floated. And here's the thing with Lonzo, is that in order for Lonzo to be effective or to have an impact on a game, his shooting obviously is going to be the top thing that everybody is going to point to. If he's shooting well, people will say, well, he's fitting so great with LeBron, or he is such a great fit with LeBron if he's shooting the ball well. And that's not incorrect. But where I do kind of disagree to a certain extent is Lonzo is going to make his impact on defense. He's going to make his impact without the basketball. And yet, we aren't seeing it quite yet. We're seeing it. We saw it in flashes against the Denver Nuggets, but we aren't seeing it consistently enough to where he is head and shoulders easily the team's starting point guard without any kind of claim to anybody else. He does enough stuff that where you say, like, yeah, he should be the team's point guard, and there's enough stuff where you say he should be the team's point guard. But for right now, I don't know if that's necessarily the case without Rajon Rondo having any kind of claim to the conversation. And look, it's going to take time. Lonzo's game is not one that's going to show through insanely clearly, or his fit with LeBron is not one that's going to be able to just you put those two guys on the court and you say, yep, there you go, that's the combination of the future. That's not the case here. It's going to take time, and Lonzo is 100% worth the investment of, all right, let's see what this turns out to be. But I do think, though, that he needs to be consistent. He needs to be predictable. And that's what it's always been when it comes to conversations about who, not necessarily who should be the starting point guard. It's always been, who do we think LeBron wants as the starting point guard? Who do we think Magic Johnson wants as the starting point guard? And their preference comes from a place of predictability. You can kind of sort of predict what Rajon Rondo was going to do on a nightly basis. Good and bad, by the way. You can't quite do that with Lonzo Ball. He'll get out there sometimes and he'll just kind of float. Other times he'll be thoroughly dominant, as he was against the Denver Nuggets. And when you're looking at a team like the Lakers, in the spot that they currently are right now, where they're trying to figure out ways to not just make the playoffs, but then make noise in the playoffs. And in order to make noise in the playoffs, they kind of sort of want or need home court advantage because of the situations that a lot of the guys would be facing in the playoffs. So wins really hugely matter. And when you're talking about wins, and when you're thinking about how Luke Walton feels about the team and what LeBron is hoping out of a point guard, or what Magic is hoping out of a point guard, that's not quite where Lonzo is right now. When he is good, he's special. When he is bad, he's just there. or he isn't, right? Like, he just kind of floats. And we kind of saw that in the San Antonio game, where he just kind of was there and he started and it was great. And I thought, I wrote in Silver Screen and Roll, first off, that I thought it was the right call to start him. And then secondly, I extended the point from how cool it was to see that Luke went away from KCP in the starting lineup, and then now he went away from Rajon Rondo in the starting lineup, and that those things kind of sort of spoke to Luke standing in the organization. That all remains true, but Lonzo needs to take advantage of the opportunity, and we didn't see that in San Antonio. And look, the Lakers probably should have won that game. They went insanely cold. San Antonio took advantage, and they wound up winning the game. It's going to be really interesting to see how Luke Walton handles the starting lineup moving forward as it pertains to Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma. But while we're here and while we're on this topic of Lonzo Ball and Rajon Rondo, look, you can't go back at this point. I don't think Luke can just take it back and put Rajon Rondo back in the starting lineup. You can't quite do that without insanely hot takes on Twitter and insanely hot takes from national media, whatever. So you're kind of, Luke made his choice. Lonzo was the starter, and now it's time for Lonzo to not float through games. So we'll see how that turns out moving forward. Let's take a quick second here, and when we come back, I will get to all of you guys' questions. And again, a quick reminder that if there's a question that you want answered on the show here, the best way to do that is with a 5-star iTunes review. I've gotten a bunch of ats. I get ats all the time on Twitter on stuff that you guys want covered in the show. Quite frankly, my mentions and my notifications are such that there's no guarantee that I would actually say that there's almost a guarantee that I won't see that or remember it in time for the next Monday mailbag. So if you have a topic that you absolutely cannot live without hearing about, send it in the form of a 5-star review, and I will get to it. Today's show is brought to you in part by Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats they have put together an insanely great interface by which to buy tickets. And what it comes down to as a sports fan is compiling as many positive memories that you can look back on, both personally, that you can just kind of say, wow, I was there for this. And if you were there the other night for the Dodgers winning a World Series game in the 18th inning, you literally got a 2-for-1 deal if you purchased a ticket for that game. And if you purchase your ticket through Vivid Seats and you enter the promo code LOCKEDON, you got $20 back for the combination of seats that you purchased, so long as it was more than $200. So again, enter in the promo code LOCKEDON. Find Vivid Seats. Go to vividseats.com/app. Find Vivid Seats in your iTunes App Store or your Android App Store, and buy yourself a couple of tickets that amount to more than $200. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON. You get $20 back, and you get to make memories. So again, that's vividseats.com/app, or search them in the iTunes or Android App Store, Vivid Seats. Enter that promo code and make some memories. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, I will answer your guys' questions. All right, so the first question here comes from EastKid101. Hey, Anthony, thank you for making my morning commutes less of a burden. I'm here for you guys. Appreciate your insight as well as Pete's. Harrison is a funny. Oh, he's there. He's kind of like Lonzo Ball in the San Antonio game. He's just kind of like is there sometimes. As I write this review, Julius Randle just hit the second three of the half and is up to 17 points. LOL. Anyway, my question is, do you see the Lakers paying all the young guys when their time comes? I know our cap situation is solid for a max level guy, but during the 2020 offseason, we should have to pay most of the young guys. Do you think we can afford all four? Thank you, longtime listener. So I look at it from this perspective. If the Lakers are going to reach Golden State stratospheres, or if they're going to become, over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, 3 or 4 years of LeBron's actual contractual obligated time that he's going to be a Laker, if they're going to reach their absolute peak ceiling, it's going to be because A, they signed a second superstar, whoever that might be, whether it's Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, whoever that second star might be. And on top of having two bona fide superstars in LeBron and superstar B, their young guys are going to have to produce. It's going to be, now, whether if they really want to reach their ceiling, their superstar young guys, their potential superstar young guys are going to have to hit, whether that's Brandon Ingram or Lonzo Ball. If they want to kind of hit a mid-tier ceiling, then it'll have to be their mid-tier young guys who we can kind of sort of see as productive role players. I'm thinking of Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma right now. If they, you know, if when you're talking about guys getting paid, well, then you're, if the Lakers, what we should be hoping for is that they have to be put in a spot where they have to pay these guys. And whether or not I think they are capable of getting to that point is kind of, it doesn't really matter, right? I think Lonzo was very capable, if he actually focuses and is consistent, of being a superstar. I think Brandon Ingram, if Luke Walton finds the proper role for him, he can be a superstar. And if the Lakers are somehow able to sign Kevin Durant and have LeBron moving forward, and those guys hit, well, then now you're talking about a core four that you can look at for the next half decade plus, right? And if the Lakers really want to be special, that core four hits LeBron, Durant, Lonzo, Ingram, and also Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart work out. And, you know, we'll see how that turns out is all I'm saying. But personally, I think all of them project Lonzo, Ingram, Kuzma, and Hart. They all right now project as guys who I would want to pay at some point down the road. And look, I think D'Angelo Russell has yet to find a situation where it becomes just objective truth that he demands that kind of salary. But at least with the guys that the Lakers have right now, I feel comfortable paying them their full salaries. Whereas, like, you look at Russell in Brooklyn, and I think Brooklyn has been smart not to pay him. I think you look at the situation in Minnesota, where the Wolves paid Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns well before they actually had to. And they're reaping the negative rewards of that, where those guys hold a ton of weight within an organization that, look, if I was a Timberwolves fan, I wouldn't really trust right now. So at least as it sits right now, the Lakers have a collection of guys who I would be willing to pay when that time comes. And given what the Lakers are trying to do, that's going to have to come to fruition if they actually want to reach the organization's peak potential. The ceiling of what they could be capable of is not going to happen unless these guys actually all hit in the ways that we're hoping that they hit. We're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I will get to the rest of your guys' questions. There's a question here about Kevin Love. There's a question here about mid-range shots versus threes. There's a ton of questions here. So hang tight. And when we come back, we'll get to the rest of those. Today's show is brought to you in part by Mizuma. Mizuma USA has been an incredible partner, and they want to be a partner moving forward with us. So we have to make sure that we completely throw our complete support behind them. If you're a small business owner, if you are an independent contractor, if you are just looking to get your finances in order from a business perspective, Mizuma is the company that you need to be talking to. And I always come back to this. is that I get to focus on my passion. I get to focus everything that I have behind me in making sure that this show is as good as it can possibly be without having to worry at all times about, well, what would happen if I make this decision financially? What would happen if I do this financially? Mazuma takes care of all of that. If I have any kind of questions whatsoever, they have been incredible at being available and talking me through the processes of everything that comes up anytime you own a small business. So I'm going to give you a number, and you can call them. And for packages starting at only $75 a month, you can figure out what works for you. The call itself is free with no strings attached. So call 213-947-6926. That's 213-947-6926 for a free consultation to figure out what might work for you. And look, I would almost guarantee that you're going to find something that works for your small business. But if you don't, there's no strings attached. It's just a consultation. They just want to have a conversation with you to figure out where your business is heading and where you want your business to head financially. And they're going to find the package, and they're going to help you find the package that makes the most sense for you. So again, that's 213-947-6926. Call them for a free consultation. That's Mazuma, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. We're going to take one more second here, and I'm going to get to the rest of your guys' questions. All right, the next question here. Look, there's a question here from Mr. Wopspican that he wants asked to both Pete and I, so I'm going to hold off on that question. Thank you for your question, Mr. Wopspican. So I'm going to move on to Lakers On Demand. I've been thinking as I watch these games, did the front office know about the freedom of movement rule that was coming when they chose these players in free agency? I don't think anybody quite understood the extent to which these rules were going to be carried out. That said, this happens every single year. Every single year we hear about some new rule, some new focus that over the course of the first month or so of the season, referees overcompensate and then kind of forget as the season rolls along. I'm actually legitimately disappointed with the NBA's stance on fast breaks moving forward. Look, the fast break in the NBA is the sport's most exciting play. Right. And in the NFL, this is one of the few things the NFL has actually gotten right here, where you throw a bomb and if a defender just lays out and hits a wide receiver who is about to catch said bomb, then they just give the ball to where that contact occurred. And that's the way to handle that kind of play, because at the end of the day, you want to make sure that defensive players in that spot don't just have incentive to ruin the sport's most exciting play. And in basketball, that incentive is still there. Defensive players, when any kind of transition happens, they can just kind of wrap up the ball handler and you move on. The offensive team takes the ball out from the sideline and the game just kind of stops. And you go from what is the most exciting potential play in the sport to honestly the most boring potential play, where you just throw the ball in from the sideline and you run a half court set. Like that's worst case scenario there. And I was really excited heading into this season thinking that, okay, yeah, the NBA was going to figure this out, but they haven't. And it's a bummer, and hopefully moving forward, the NBA takes in something close to, like, I grew up playing soccer as well as basketball, and if a soccer team is on their way towards the goal, and they're in an attacking position, and a defensive player tries to wrap up an offensive player to stop that progress, well, then the referee just kind of whistles, or he doesn't whistle anything. He just kind of says advantage on, and the offensive team continues to play. it's right there. Like, the idea of the rule is right there, and yet the NBA hasn't quite figured that out. So when it comes to the freedom of movement rule, I don't think the Lakers took that into account. I don't think any team really took that into account. But I also think that those rules are going to go away pretty soon. When it comes to the clear path rule, though, the NBA continues to drop the ball. Next question. This comes from Vontae35. Happy birthday, Anthony. Thank you, man. I turned 32, and I'm old. I feel old all the time. Two questions. First question is, how did I spend my 32nd birthday? And the second question, if the Magic offered the Lakers Vucevic for KCP and a protected first, who says no? The Lakers say no to that. I'll get to that here in a second. When it comes to my birthday, though, my wife is a superstar. I completely outkicked my coverage. We went to a French restaurant. Both she and I went to Cal State Fullerton, so we spent a bunch of time when we were younger in downtown Fullerton. And there was a spot that we didn't know about at the time, but we found later in life, called the Cellar. It's this mixology bar, but also serves as a French cuisine restaurant. So we got this plate called a Chateaubriand, which is an 18-ounce filet mignon that they cook up for you and then present to you on a platter and cut up for you for your couple. It's a plate for two. So we went and did that, and it was incredible. We had friends over. We had a costume party. I'm recording this on Sunday night. Last night was Saturday night. We had friends over for that. Harrison and Pete were both over for that. So it's always great seeing those guys. I had an incredible birthday. Thanks in no small part to you guys, because you guys have helped my dreams come true. So thanks for your question, Vontae. For your actual Lakers question, who says no to that trade? I think the Lakers do. I don't think anybody's going to be giving up a first-round pick this year for anybody signed beyond this season not named Jimmy Butler. That's too high a price to pay for potential rentals, and for Nikola what's his name? Vucevic's. I'm blanking on Vucevic's first name. He's just not worth it as a basketball player and as an entity moving forward. If the Lakers can get him for a conditional first rounder or a conditional second rounder, then I'm cool with that. KCP and whatever to shore up the front line. I don't think that's necessarily how they'll be looking to use KCP. For example, and I'm not saying that this is something that I feel strongly about right now, but if the New Orleans Pelicans approached the Lakers and said, all right, Anthony Davis is on the table, what can you guys put together for us? A package of KCP, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball works in terms of the CBA. I'm not saying I haven't done enough analysis of the situation to have a strong stance on either, but if KCP is going to be moved, I think it'd be for something bigger than Vucevic. That's just my hunch as it stands right now. Last few questions here. Last two questions. Last one question. Two questions in a row that were just kind of just straight reviews. Last question here. JaVale has been playing a lot of minutes so far this season. Over 20 minutes in all of the games. This is from McNugget2483. Do I think it's sustainable? Does it go to 20 to 25 minutes instead of the 15 to 20 people predicted in the offseason, preseason? It depends completely on what the Lakers are able to figure out in either on the trade market or on the buyout market, or if they're able to find a more stable, you know, who we haven't talked about a lot very much this year, and for good reason, but Mo Wagner, like if he comes back and he's able to just kind of serve as a 10 to 15 minute guy that 10 to 15 minute per game guy that Jonathan Williams has been able to do, then I think JaVale's minutes can stay at a spot where you can kind of get by with where they're at right now. I wouldn't rely on that if I was the Lakers. It seems like they're comfortable relying on it. I disagree with that stance, but it just completely depends on what kind of move they make. And look, I just talked in the last segment about KCP and him as salary ballast or whatever. Him and Michael Beasley, like, those guys aren't, I don't think, it as it stands right now, they aren't playing well enough to be a part of the rotation. And there are centers out there on the market who will be on the trade market that, like, if the Lakers can offer up those two guys for, say, Tyson Chandler, or if the Lakers can offer up those two guys, like, without, if I was to just offer up KCP, Michael Beasley, and a conditional second rounder for Vucevic, then I'd think about it. But there are names who are going to be out there on the trade market that the Lakers should really consider moving forward, given where this rotation currently stands. That'll do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. Today's show is brought to you in part by Mizuma. Give them a call at 213-947-6926. This show is also brought to you in part by Vivid Seats. Go to vividseats.com/app or find them in your app store. No matter what type of technology you're using, enter that promo code Locked On and get $20 back on your first purchase of $200 or more. Thanks to those of you who continue to support this show. I'm Anthony Irwin, and I will talk to you tomorrow.